Brissett gets a block and gets the touchdown. The block from the tight end, Jack Doyle. And Jacoby Brissett has his third rushing touchdown of the season. Here's Williams. Survives a hit, keeps on going. To the end zone for the touchdown. Ben-Ardrick McKinney couldn't bring him down. Watson, end zone. Hopkins, say hi to mom again. Touchdown. Hopkins, 30 yards to DeAndre Hopkins. Might be the game right here, or a chance for the Colts. Brissett, can he pick it up? He cannot. Play made by Scarlett. And Brissett marked short of first down yardage, and the Texans will take over.
Those were our good friends, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. I'm Greg Rosenthal with Chris Wesseling again on Thursday night. The Texans wrapped up a 20-17 victory over the Colts, which might just mean we're watching Deshaun Watson in that first Saturday ESPN wildcard slate, because I think the AFC South is only getting one playoff team, and the Texans are in first place at 7-4.
That was a really tight game that could have gone either way, and it was such a, showcase for the different styles, distinct styles of play that really channels their quarterbacks, with Deshaun Watson going for the big play, hitting those long air yards play. And you see the difference, I think. Will Fuller and T.Y. Hilton were the two like injured wide receiver X factors. Will Fuller goes for 7 and 140, I think, and T.Y. Hilton had those two third down almost catches that were big, but didn't really, wasn't much of a factor outside of that. Texans receivers dominated the game. Colts receivers really didn't show up.
No, that was the difference to me, was Fuller and Hilton, and then the guys throwing them the ball. You know, Hilton drops those two plays on a night where the Colts move the ball pretty well, but they're going to move it slowly. There weren't many possessions in this game. The first was just a clear drop. And the second one, again, in a second half where they only had the ball four different times, he ended two drives with two drops. He was not explosive. If you're not beating Jonathan Joseph one-on-one in man coverage, that's not the T.Y. Hilton that we're used to seeing. Whereas Will Fuller had all the juice. And I'm not saying he's better than DeAndre Hopkins. He's not, Nuke went for 694 and two. He had the long touchdown, a couple long touchdowns and a great sideline catch. But Will Fuller's kind of the X factor. He's the little sizzle. He's the little ingredient. You know, when you're back on the big green egg, you got to have your piece of steak. That's Watson and Nuke. But Fuller's that little ingredient that only Wes adds that puts it all together and actually makes it special.
We've talked about how much he means to this offense, that Deshaun Watson's numbers are like best in the league when Will Fuller's in the lineup, and just plain average without him. And I saw Next Gen Stats said that he's more than twice as likely to throw a deep ball with Will Fuller on the field as he is when Will Fuller's sidelined. It's all the difference in the world for this offense.
Well, they were one of the worst teams in the league throwing vertically this year, which is crazy because, if you watch this game, you saw three of the prettiest deep balls that you'll ever see, the two to Fuller, and then the second touchdown to Hopkins. The only touchdown they got, until that fourth quarter play to Hopkins was on a total blown coverage. I actually thought the Colts defense, for the most part, did a good job. They stuffed the run most of the night. Hyde and Duke Johnson had one good run each. But this looked like, a game that was very even. It's just like, how are you going to win? Are you going to win throwing the ball, or are you going to win trying to run the ball down the other team's throats? The two Colts touchdown drives, on one of them came off of a Deshaun Watson interception, 7 straight runs. The other one, they ran the ball 10 out of 11 times. And it's just a fine line. Jacoby Brissett did not look right. I don't know if they changed their game plan based on how he's playing or if he is just moving slow, but he certainly seemed to be like processing slow and not getting rid of the ball. And I saw some comments, the Colts aren't winning in man coverage. Jacoby's got to go give him a chance. And I thought this was one of his worst games. He didn't look healthy. I mean, if you're throwing for 5 yards per attempt against this Texans defense, who is missing almost their entire starting secondary, that's a problem.
Well, the Colts entered this game 28th in passing yards per game and 4th in rushing yards per game. This is who they are. And I think if I try to get in the mind of Frank Reich, that game plan was not only is this who they are, but I've got a banged up quarterback who isn't moving quite as well. And also have a very depleted wide receiver core. I can't count on them to win downfield. So I'm going to saddle up Jonathan Williams again. And it worked for those two drives you talked about. It really worked when they imposed their will for two drives. But the bottom line is Frank Reich decided to live and die with the running game, and he died with it.
I mean, you're going to die. But
against a defense where the clear weakness is the secondary, one of the worst secondaries in the NFL.
I mean, at one point, this was something that John McClain tweeted, the venerable Texans Houston Chronicle reporter, after that first touchdown, that Colts running drive. The Colts have taken the Texans' manhood. The offensive line is humiliating the Texans' front seven. Time for them to call their mommies. I want to see DJ Reader and Whitney Merciless and face John McClain tonight in the locker room and say, hey, we called our mommies. We got some stops down the stretch. What's up, old man?
I love John McClain.
No, I do too.
Because he was so nice to me when I did the Love You Blue article, the long form I did. But I do think he leans into it a little bit on these nationally televised games.
He's a fan, though. He's just getting emotional. Oh, you think
he knows everybody's watching his Twitter on these games.
Yeah, that might be part of it. The Jacoby Brissett injury, though, I mean, he's wearing that huge brace. And on, one of the key plays of the game, it's a 4th-and-7. He drops back to pass. Again, he doesn't pull the trigger. Maybe no one's open on that play, but he has a lane to go pick up 7 yards, and most starting quarterbacks are going to pick up those 7, and he picks up 6, and he's moving slowly. And even if he doesn't have that brace on, it's like I think he's picking up that first down on most nights, and that was a difference. I mean, he's about a yard short, and you don't know what's going to happen then.
I totally agree. I've seen Jacoby Brissett make that play when he's healthy, and he could have also been more decisive and taken off a couple of seconds earlier and maybe had a better window. But I look at this game and I see a Texans team that's going to be riding high because they're in first place. That was a huge game. They were calling it a playoff game. But the Colts, don't hang your head too far, because next week, you might have Devin Funchess and Paris Campbell back. T.Y. Hilton and Jacoby Brissett will presumably be a little bit more healthy. They were playing in the secondary without a couple of impact rookies in Rock Ya-Sin and Kari Willis. Maybe those guys come back. They were a depleted team on the field tonight, and I think that was reflected in the result. A close game where if they're healthy, it might have gone differently.
Your football heart is a very strange thing. You were not into the Colts early in the season. I wouldn't say they've exactly lit the world on fire over the last month. In fact, they've lost 3 games out of 4 now. And yet, watching this game with you at your house, I was pleasantly surprised to see that you're a fan of the Colts suddenly once again.
Well, their defense got me back in. They're so young. They were playing 4 rookies regularly before those injuries, and they're fast to the ball. Their pass rush did not show up tonight. That was a big factor. But I like watching their defense, and I went into the game kind of subconsciously rooting for them. But by the end of the game, it was such a close game that it didn't bother me to see either team win.
Here's my takeaway, though. I'm not sure how dangerous the Texans are. I know Deshaun Watson is great, and tonight you saw a lot of what made him great with the deep ball and the throws on third down. But you also saw, one interception that set up the Colts touchdown. You saw 2 interceptions that were dropped by the Colts, including what could have been a killer one in the fourth quarter. And you saw him fumble the ball in a situation at the end of the game we should talk about, where the only thing the Texans had to do was not fumble there. and he fumbled the ball, and the officials determined that he recovered the ball, and Twitter and everyone else was fired up that how could they not review that play. And it does look strange. I get it. We rewound, the TV copy, and the official that's standing right on top of Deshaun Watson and had a better view than anyone else says it's Watson's ball. So he seemed to indicate that there was a fumble, and he indicated that Watson recovered the ball. And people are going to kill them for not reviewing that, but I don't know. There's you can't overturn. There are rules, and the rule is you can't overturn that unless there's going to be some sort of clear recovery, and you're not going to get a clearer view than that. I know you know, I'm going to get called a company man here. This was one, I don't think there was some controversy. It was what it was. We never saw another view that showed that the Colts recovered it. If the guy standing on top of him says Watson's got the ball, what are you going to do? You can't overturn that.
I think they keep this purposely vague about when Riveron can just buzz in from New York and tell officials, hey, here's what happened.
Yeah.
And my guess is in that situation,
he said he recovered it.
That late in the game, Riveron buzzes in and says, hey, we got nothing here. There's nothing on the replays that will overturn this.
The Colts have the Titans, Bucks at New Orleans, home for Carolina at Jacksonville. That's a pretty good schedule. You know, the only game where they play a team with a winning record the rest of the way is at New Orleans. The Texans, on the other hand, don't play, by the way. Neither of these teams play until December 1st. You want a little, hey, this season is moving along again?
Hey.
Their next game is December 1st, and it's a home game on Sunday night against the Patriots. Then they have the Broncos at Titans, at Bucks, and back home to the Titans. So they get the Titans 2 out of 3 times down the stretch. If I'm the Colts and I'm looking at that schedule, I don't feel too bad. You know, the Patriots, they both have one really tough game, and then they both have a bunch of toss-up games. The Texans don't look unbeatable to me, but the Texans, to me, are just the more dangerous team. But as a Patriots homer, I got to say, I expected to be really afraid of this Texans team. And maybe they will get better offensively over the next few weeks. They certainly pass protect pretty well. They're pretty complete offensively. But the defense, to me, lacks so much juice. I don't know if they're really going to be that dangerous of an out, even if they win the division.
Yeah, I agree the Texans have a higher ceiling because of their quarterback and their stars on offense. But they also have a fatal flaw in that secondary. And the Colts don't really have a fatal flaw. Their ceiling just isn't that high.
Mm. Some Colts fans I follow in the timeline that are not fans of Jacoby Brissett would disagree with you, saying they're limited by the QB. I think he can play better in tonight.
I don't think he's a complete liability like the Texans secondary is.
Well, you know who else is not a complete liability? Dan Hansis, Mark Sessler, Cynthia Freeland. They are all our friends, and we got together a little earlier today, Wes, and we wanted to get inside the mind.
I learned a lot from this interview. I learned a lot. And Cynthia, I'm kind of intimidated by what she's going on with her models there.
Well, she's an intimidating figure, but apparently she was intimidated by us. She thought we didn't like her. We get into that. We get into the personal thing. And like I said on our preview show, if you haven't listened to this, I think this is setting up, you know, a character that we're going to have in the future. Because I think that sort of analytical mindset is an interesting vantage point to get on the show, and I'm sure we'll have her down the line. But I'm excited to throw it over to Dan and us to hear from Cynthia. So here you go.
All right, as promised, a special guest in the studio. She's become a friend of the podcast. She doesn't think so. She believes herself to be a foe to some of us. It's Cynthia Freeland. Welcome to the Around the NFL podcast for the first time.
You know, it only took, this is my fourth season here. I think you guys hated me, now two of you are forced to work with me on a regular basis. So it's really broken the ice, but I thought you hated me for
Let's
a really
dig
long
into
time.
This a little bit because, yes.
Interesting way to start out there.
Yeah, I love this because Cynthia and I work on the Power Ranking show on Wednesdays, which you can catch on YouTube or NFL.com at noon Eastern. Also, Cindy works with Greg Rosenthal on Game Day View, which is also a digital entity that shows up on NFL Network over the weekend. So, yeah, we've gotten to know you better.
Yep.
But, Greg, before we throw it to the Kissing Cousins, did you ever have any negative feelings towards
Cynthia? No.
Past or present?
I think you saying that you thought we hated you says more about you than it really does about us. You know, we run into issues, I think, because we don't really have many guests on the show in general. There are people that we've worked with a lot longer. If I had to go through it, that we probably, you know, have alienated.
More.
Well, no, I know you have something personal with Mark. That's weird.
Yeah,
but like the rest of us,
that.
I thought
I would
all,
trust your instincts.
We all got
I think
along
your instincts
with.
Are dead on.
What is so? Where did the with Wes and Mark specifically? Where did things go wrong? Let's
I don't know where it went wrong. I just, like, we don't spend a lot of time. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, well, I just don't think they like me very much.
Well, you seem very busy from the,
right,
to an outsider's view. So it's like, you know, it's more about,
yeah,
I think it's a Cynthia thing.
Cynthia's
more
like,
than
I'm on
us
13
thing.
Different NFL Network shows. I need number 14 or else it's not going to be complete.
We have Cynthia Freeland quotes hanging in my house.
I didn't think you hated me. Let's be
thank
fair.
You.
But I thought the rest of you did.
Cynthia, I pinch hit on the game debut set last week, and Cynthia all but beat Greg and I in
submission. Oh, absolutely.
Because Cynthia's a woman that gets what she wants. She's been doing it her whole career. And that's why she's, you know, your background is analytics. And you've become the go-to person in this building, in that realm, and you're famous, I would say.
Well, when there's only one of you, you're inherently the best, the worst, and the most average.
No, I mentioned, this is my like rendering of you're famous. I mentioned I was doing the show, you know, with you and Andrew Hawkins, and my dad immediately was like, oh, I know Cynthia Freeland. And I was like, he doesn't watch any NFL Network, but he's seen you on the Sunday morning game day show, and wow.
Now, I'm not saying I want this, but one of my favorite things...
Oh, gosh.
I go way back with Ian Rappaport, and I know his personality. Anytime we hire a reporter that's good, he gets very worked up. He gets nervous. He gets... agitated. He's worried that they're going to get
sure he wants this revealed.
His insider corner. And sometimes his concerns are more, you know, worth merit than others. Do you have any concerns that someone else could come in from the outside, a Buzz Lightyear to your Woody?
You know,
big spot.
I'm like fully expecting it because that's just what happens, right? So I think it'd be really nice, actually, if somebody else wanted to like do a lot of math and come in. Then I'll, you know, I'm like, I was an investment banker. I did some other stuff, right? So
done a
I'll
lot
just
of
go,
stuff.
I'll just go find something. I don't know. I guess it's like, it's good. It's a compliment, right? It's a good thing to have. I'm not going to get worked up. I actually want more people to come do what I do.
You do a lot of things. You're a Renaissance woman. I will say this, too. I just looked over your press release when you were hired by the NFL.
Oh, God. That's so embarrassing.
Did anybody else get a press release when you came
not
to
me.
This company?
Actually,
I was hired as a three-day-a-week temp, essentially. So I don't think that document exists.
And you
let's
both,
be clear. Let's be clear. You know you're big time if they tell you when things are renewed. That ain't nobody tell you when I'm renewed. That's when you know you're really...
Yeah, that's what Colleen Wolf, by the way.
Yeah, which is great.
We have not said that on the show. Congratulations to Colleen.
Thank you.
She just got a big extension. I'm sure in the millions, and she deserves every cent
of it. She better.
She is a star, and we love you, Colleen. Anyway, so when you were hired, it says here that you had completed, this is 4 years ago, 20 marathons in 20 different states.
Yep.
Almost halfway to her goal of completing a marathon in each state. Where are we at? And based on your number, I'll let you know if you're doing well or poorly in the last 4 years.
Yeah, 23 now.
Oh, falling behind pace.
I know.
Falling behind pace.
Good math, Dan.
Is it? I don't even know if it is. We're on the opposite sides of the spectrum, just so you know. As good as you are at math, I am as bad on the opposite direction, so bam.
The best part about math is you could, like, say it, and for the most part, almost no one will know. So you could
that's
just,
true.
You know, like...
True of this room.
You can just say it. Like, who cares, right? Like,
that's good advice.
You know? I'm not going to call you out. We've become friends now. Maybe before having me on the pod, I would have called you out, but now your math's perfect for me.
So you're 23 marathons. That's good. You're also, what I've learned, you know everybody. You're one of those people. To the point where it becomes market negative, I think, because she can't say anything bad about anybody because she's, quote unquote, friends with everybody.
I'm not really friends with everybody. Like, I know them. That doesn't mean I'm friends with them.
Jump in with your comments on that.
Well, I don't have a comment. I mean, I feel that you know, that's a good way to operate. I don't know almost more than 4% of the people in the building. So coming from a very different place, I have lots of questions, but we'll get through the intro. Let's dig through
We're
the rest
there.
Of the bullet points here.
We are the longest
intro in around the NFL.
This
history.
Is the long, yes.
We're kind of an insular group on the podcast.
Obviously.
And I think good job by you again by badgering Greg and I, almost to the point of physicality, to get on the show.
It was on mic too, so like other people are listening to it.
I found my camera perfectly. Did you watch the replay? Because I nailed that.
You
like
killed it.
Right, like looked right down the lens and like nailed it.
Because we hear from, I have a specific shadowy league figure that has come to me and said X, Y, and Z are unhappy they're not getting on the show. That's a thing that's happening in this building.
Well, it depends who X, Y, and Z are, but yes, I like that.
The figure name X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't.
I mean, I just went to
it's like, ooh,
myself.
Sorry, Steve Weiss. It's been a few months. Like, calm down, buddy. We'll bring you back.
Let's be honest. I went directly to you. I didn't go through any shadowy figures. I went right to you guys.
That's advice you can give Daniel Jeremiah.
Great. Might help. I'll tell DJ.
All right. The, up later. The introduction process, Mark, is over.
Okay. I hear a lot of times about I imagine you up in your apartment, wherever you live, with some sort of gigantic computerized motherboard where you're running through all these facts and figures. Like, I grew up playing like Stratomatic, yep. Which to me tied at a very early age the concept of football. Well, it is. I feel like I'm in the presence of a fellow nerd potentially to 100%. Some degree, which I appreciate. And I just wonder, like, are you spending all day long, like, just hitting this motherboard up for these facts and figures? I just want to see what it looks like visually. Or is it just a lap? What is your program that you're running these games on when you come up with these predictions?
It's called the you call it the model.
Yep.
And
there's actually a lot
heard
of models.
Is it like, yeah. What is it?
I don't know if it's a robot or if it's some sort of wall-size type thing. I don't know.
It's a robot.
It used to be a robot.
It's got eyes.
Yeah.
And feelings.
Thinks.
I need answers. Yeah. I think a lot of people would, in their own mind, would wonder what
in
it looks
mind,
like too.
I want to know too.
Okay, so you imagine like I'll take a picture of it. But there's several screens, so I have multiple monitors,
cool.
And I run different things on each one. So imagine taking your game pass, feeding in all of the coaches' film because you have to see all the players, and then it draws like circles and lines and squares. Like, it's, you know how the yellow line that shows you where the first down is? It's kind of the same idea as that. It's computer vision. That's the thing that makes me special. That's the only thing.
And you invented this?
Well, I wrote my own covert. So computer vision allows you to create the lines.
Wow.
I just say, what do I want to measure? So that's part of what I do. And then it's taking all of those things and like looking for trends and doppelgangers, if you will. Keep it in our nerd reference.
Nice. So we're in Mark's realm.
Of course. I live in that realm. So it's my realm too. So it's like, what are similarities? So is this defense operating like the 85 Bears, right? Like, we saw a lot of comparisons this week between the Patriots' current defense and the 85 Bears. So is that true? Yes or no? Mm. Did they operate against pressure with a lot of pressure, or is it more the coverage from the back end? Like, how a defense is effective is different, right? Like, it either nets in points or it doesn't. But how it operates can be different. So you can't really compare, you know, like we talk about home run hitters in baseball, right? Like, if you want to talk about how Barry Bonds used to, oh, maybe he's not a good one, but
you know, he was great.
Right. But, you know, you can use these like sluggers with like a lot of power, or you can use like kind of like single and double hitters, right? So you can't say, yes, both get, you know, have high on-base percentages or things like that. But you want to see how they're doing it. Are they doing it with power, or are they doing it with, you know, more efficiency? So, and that's what you look for in football. What are the doppelgangers?
So where does this all
go? I do want a picture
model,
of this.
Though.
Like, I'll send you a picture.
So okay. How is that all fed into what the model is to then predict, like, game scores each week?
So you know how you like open up Microsoft Excel? So like Excel looks like
columns, you do.
And rows, right? Okay. Well, if you'd like to, it's on your computer. I'm pretty sure. It's columns and rows, and basically that's a program. That's a computer program. So I've written a program for my stuff that takes in a lot of different inputs, and it doesn't look like Excel, but it operates like Excel. I ask it to do some stuff, and it gives me a result, kind of like Excel does if you were going to use it to create a spreadsheet for like your household income, right? Like what you're doing around the house. So I created the software that pulls in all these different data components and makes it so that I can visualize it, so that I can use it to predict different things. And by the way, there are more than one model. There's multiple models, and they're all named after like old school rappers.
Oh, just so let's hear some. Greg likes rap.
Well, do you like rap?
Sure.
Okay,
likes rap.
I feel like he's lying to me right
now.
No,
I love rap. I love lots of music.
It's not ironic.
I don't like being pigeonholed into just rap.
How did you know that Greg doesn't like rap?
It's not ironic.
He's very out in the open.
See, she makes a lot of like noise about, oh, yeah, I don't think you guys like me. I haven't been on the podcast. She's never listened to the podcast.
That is completely untrue. That is
a bit of a loud idea. Like,
she's building multiple high octane models, so
which I wouldn't either.
While I'm doing it, I put on my headphones and I listen to some of my favorite podcasts, of which this one's included.
So what are the rappers?
Okay, so I'm a Tribe Called Quest kind of girl. Every once in a while, I'll get mad at one. So, like, I'll name it something like a little bit like Eazy-E. Sometimes you love him, sometimes you hate him.
Got it.
Stuff like that. You know, like, and obviously my favorite all-time Christopher Wallace, which obviously is Notorious B.I.G., but you gotta, his mother, you gotta go with what his mother named him.
Sure.
So you gotta, so those are three of my favorites. Like the one that I reference every week on our show is Christopher Wallace.
The motherboard.
Oh, I get everyone. It. Okay.
Yeah, so to now, pick the games.
Let's just, in terms of your model and the 2019 season, because we do talk about this a lot on the Power Ranking show, some teams don't, whether they're, where their record is, where their narrative is connected to them, doesn't always jive up with where the model has them. What is a team that all season remains high up when you're talking about the best teams in the league that perhaps has been bouncing up and down in the standings or in the view of the general public?
So you know how like you always want to buy blue chip stocks? Like you're going to take an Apple stock. Maybe there's a down day or whatever, but like you're going to take that blue chip stock. To me, like the Kansas City Chiefs, although they've had some down moments, the Chiefs and the Patriots are those two blue chip stocks. They're your Amazon, your Apple, that they're going to remain high even if there's some dips in temporary kind of day trading temporary dips. If you want my, do you want me to continue this?
No, I like analogy? This. Yeah, this makes us smarter.
So
the blue chip teams, the Pats, the Chiefs, even though they've lost games this year and have lost a lot of games at home, and a big part of your model, the Christopher Wallace model, is the importance of getting a bye week in the playoffs. When you're talking about Super Bowl probability, which
right? Because then you remember, like, if you think about it, if you kind of add together, so let's say tonight, so for the Thursday night game, right? Like you, let's say there's like a 56, like the winner is 56 wins in 56% of the simulations. So the loser, what's the math there?
44.
Perfect.
Wow.
Yes.
This is your backup. If you go down, this is your backup on this stuff.
That's right.
That's pretty good.
Like you're in the cloud now. Let's go. Let's put you in the cloud. Hands is in the cloud.
You're getting my head too big right now.
So then you add together.
Give me another one. No, don't. Do not.
So 70.
No, too late.
So it's 10, tough. Then so you add together all of the remaining, like each game has those probabilities. So you add together those remaining ones to get the win total. So if you think about it, if your win totals are out of, if like 56 then becomes 1 if you win or 0 if you lose. But if you don't have that roll of the dice in the playoffs, then your number becomes like you have 6 games to play it out of instead of 7 games to play it out of. So no matter what, you're going to be better off with a bye. Like, you know, even if it's, that's why it's just always more improbable, even if the better team that you think is better is not seeded as highly.
And conversely, and using that, you know, kind of parlance, the blue chip stock, what's the opposite of that? I don't know like that a, world
like a,
either.
Well, there's like, look, like you got a blue chip stock.
Who's a little overvalued right now? Who's a little overvalued?
Ooh, see, that's a good way to put
that's
it.
That's overvalued.
Yeah.
That's
so they're
over evaluation. No?
Sure.
Greg likes stock.
I think you're probably looking at, I mean, to be honest with you, we'll see here, but I'm curious what happens between this San Francisco and Green Bay game. One of those seems to be a bit, I'm going to say maybe like trading a little higher than maybe they should. I'm not saying their potential is
both
there.
Of them, you think, really?
I think the loser of this one was maybe a little over, is maybe now looking back would be a little overvalued, right? Like you could argue either way, right? San Francisco, you think about their defense, and then there we have a lot of questions on their offense. But then you got Green Bay, and what's going on with their defense? Their offense, Aaron Rodgers always seems to give them a chance. So they could be a bit overvalued in terms of like Super Bowl potential.
And I got a question on these models. They obviously do so many things. I thought they were mostly numbers. Are you telling me these models watch and analyze game film?
Every single game.
Well, I mean, I won't be needed on this podcast anymore.
I watch it too, right? Like the point is you want to have I want to create an unbiased way. Like I watch every single game too, right? But I'm biased just like you're biased. We're all biased. No matter what, like you can't not be biased. You're a human being, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some people are more biased than others. Like if you ask, I used to ask Marshall Faulk for help on certain things with running backs picking up blitzes. And Marshall has a huge bias on running backs, but he can't help it because that's Marshall. Like that's what he did. Like that's his area of expertise. So you have to learn how to take what Marshall told me and make that like something that helps, right? As opposed to something that like makes me more biased. So when you measure things and you measure actual distances from stuff, then you can say, hey, Aaron Donald is still getting within 5 feet of a quarterback. And by the way, we came up with that because when I was talking to coaches, it's like most quarterbacks are about 6 feet tall. So their wingspan's about 6 feet. So five's inside of that. Your vision's 135 degrees, most people. So as long as like if your head's turning, but a defender's in your face, probably a good way to approximate pressure. So that's just to be more specific than like, oh, they got through the O-line. Okay. Like, does that Did they really did that have an effect? I don't know. Hmm. So trying to like make things so that it's formulaic in a way where like if I just handed you the recipe, you could cook the cookies too. You could bake the cookies too.
I'm starting to think none of us are needed on this podcast.
No, not at all.
Well, have you seen these robots that are trained for war now? I mean, this is all happening.
It's going to be easy. Wow. Chris Wallace talking football.
But here's the thing. The better your inputs, the better your output. So like coming up with that formula, you have to ask people who know so that you can come up. And then, by the way, you got to keep making it better because the game evolves and the game changes, like everything changes. So the point is to just do it kind of quickly so you can do these like what if scenarios or make decision trees, but based on really smart minds. So like that you're actually more valuable because then you become the person who informs what the robot's looking for. The robot can just look through way more years of data faster than you because they don't have to spend
Wes.
Category.
No doubt about that.
Yeah, especially Wes. I mean, you didn't have to go there, but yeah.
It's the old Tom Brady scouting report thing too. I'm going to lean on here. The one thing they couldn't measure was right here. Okay. It's hot.
You must have teams reaching out, trying to pull you away from NFL Network and into their building as a singular employee.
Yep.
Oh, that's how you get paid.
I want
that's
more. Why we're gonna get I want names. Not. I want we're names. Not. I want organizations.
So the
have like, you consulted with any teams?
I do. I actively consult with teams, but you don't hear about
so
it.
So multiple income streams.
Tell us like your bank account. Let's get into that.
Okay, so we got an annuity, and then it's the end of year, so you got to consider what you're going to be doing with your tax status. Anyways, so we're in California. You got to go make some donations. You're going to pay a lot of taxes.
Smart is smart.
So no, but what I like to do, the best teams, look, just like everything else, if I'm listening to you and you're listening to me and we can come up with something better together, I don't know. Like, I know a bunch of people who like do like analytics or they say it. I don't even know what that word means anymore, but it's not a project. Like they're just saying things. I see them on Twitter all the time. In fact, many times I have to throw my phone. My phone's always broken because I cannot stand looking at because these takes are so crappy. Like, of course you're going to be better at passing the ball if you have Michael Thomas on your team than if you don't. Like, I saw a whole thing this summer, and I don't care if this person listens and gets mad at me, but this whole thing on saying I'm a Lions fan, and they were saying that the Lions were worse at passing now and that because they've been trying to be a run-first team. As it turns out, it's a tiny sample size, and you know what? It's better. It's easier to pass if Calvin Johnson's on your team than if he's not. Like, these are ridiculous.
That's fair.
Like, these are ridiculous, like, takes, right? So instead, it's like when I work with a team, last year I was asked by a team to come up with an analysis of three or four, but three primary running backs that they think they could afford in this tier that's not a premier tier of running back. So a backup.
So this was the Jets.
No, it wasn't.
I'm kidding, but yeah.
It was not the Jets. I will tell you that. But it's how do we value these three things? And it was like, so I sat down with coach and I said, well, what kind of offense are you going to run? Is it going to be different? Like, what is your strategy? What are the things you're prioritizing for? And all I did then was I organized everything that he said into categories and then analyzed each of the running backs that they asked me about into those categories and made some cut-ups because coaches speak in cut-ups.
Put it into Biggie Smalls and see what happens.
And that one's a different one. Yeah, I know. It's these names are
keep up,
confusing.
Mark. Come on.
No.
Sorry.
No, but it, you know, it, but exactly like you know, you put it in there and
Mark
comes
likes
out
that.
With it just gives like a grade. Like this one's an 8 out of 10. Or here are the five clips that are exactly what you're looking for. Here are the five cut-ups that are not what you're looking for. And here are the five that I have no idea how to explain, but you should probably look at as a coach.
All right.
So it's really just helpful.
Two things before, because we got to let Cynthia go.
Oh, you're
fine. Two things we need to hit real quick. One, be careful with this, with how much information you pump into it. It becomes self-aware. You've seen the Terminator franchise.
Oh, I know. Sometimes it scares me what it tells me. AI is like legit.
Just be
careful. So you're saying the person, you know, the thing that could come into the company and replace Cynthia would be her own creation.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
And that could be the least of your problems. She could replace you. It could replace you in all ways. You were saying you're
not
a great cook
pod.
In the kitchen. Be careful how much information you pump into its hardware.
Embrace the change. It's going to happen.
All right.
No, you just got to be better than I told you the formula. You just have to be the one informing what it's looking at.
They couldn't measure that ticker. Last thought, because we got to get to our preview show here. The model says who wins the Super Bowl right now?
The Patriots.
Come on!
Yeah, but what's the percentage?
It's like 13.
Right. See, that's the thing is people – I saw yesterday on Twitter. It was like, all right, I'm making, you know, it's like hot take alert. It's like this ex-athlete says the Patriots are done. They are not winning the Super Bowl this year. And I'm
thinking, click here for more.
And I'm thinking, well, the most optimistic assessment that the Patriots are the favorites in the NFL would say that they're not winning the Super Bowl, because no team would have a greater than 50% chance to win the Super Bowl. Her favorite is that 13% because football's tough.
You know? Put a button on it, Cynthia.
Please.
We like the buttons on our show, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
I mean, look, it goes right now. It's Patriots, Ravens. What was third? Saints?
Chiefs.
Chiefs. Oh, is it Patriots, Ravens, Chiefs, Saints? That was it.
All right.
That's the button.
Feels like you should be doing power rankings, but I'll leave it there.
She does. She's more real. I'm the feel.
Whoa. Thanks for having me.
All right. Cynthia Freeland, check her out on all different NFL Network programming. And thank you for coming on the show.
You know, thanks for having me.
Awesome.
It was fun. Are
cool. Any enemies in the room?
Mark?
No way. We're like fellow nerds.
I feel it.
Fellow nerds.
I feel it. All right. Cynthia Freeland.
All right. That was Cynthia. And the rest of us, you know, I thought we all did well in that interview, Wes, but you really stood out to me. Like, what, you're really incisive. You're an incisive guy.
See, I thought the opposite, that she obviously has a natural rapport with you and Dan from being on shows with her, whereas Mark and I were kind of left out of the circle a little bit.
You know, what can I say? We've been working together. It's been a lot of fun. People should check out, you know, if you're making it this deep into the Thursday night recap show and the interview with Cynthia, you're a real football head. You're a real fan. And I think you'll enjoy Game Day View. I think 9 a.m. and midnight Eastern time on Saturdays. You can DVR it and then watch it with your kids anytime. Until then, though, Wes, we should get out of here.
Let's get.
Okay.
Hang on.
For Chris and Dan and Mark and Cynthia and the wonderful Erica Tamposi behind the glass, we will talk to you Sunday.